Exactly a week ago, I was sitting at home working remotely because of the pandemic and making an episode about the protests over the killing of George Floyd that had gripped Philadelphia and the world. And I totally forgot that it was Election Day in Pennsylvania. If social distancing and civil unrest wasn't enough, voting in the primary was just one more thing to try to negotiate. Even before all that.
It is the traditional way to vote. Show up, stand in line, and cast that ballot. But come Election Day in PA, things are changing.
The state had concerns about how voting would go, what with the new machines and options for mail-in voting and everything. So how did Pennsylvania do to accommodate voters in an election that had everything thrown at it? And what did we learn for November, when the stakes will be even higher? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. WHYY's political reporter Katie Meyer helped us answer some of those questions. So Katie, I cannot remember a time, and I'm a little bit older than you are, where we had any kind of election under such crazy circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to remember, you know, it's not unprecedented for these sorts of extenuating circumstances to affect elections. So, you know, for instance, we can look at natural disasters. So after Hurricane Katrina, elections were delayed. After Hurricane Sandy, you know, polling places really had to be scrambled. But ultimately, you're right. I don't think there's been a time in recent memory when so many things have been going on Election Day.
And even before all these other crazy circumstances hit, Philadelphia was having a concern about their mail-in balloting and their voting machines, right?
Well, certainly the pandemic was the first thing. So as soon as it became apparent how severe the coronavirus pandemic was getting, we started thinking about elections. So for instance, we know the virus predominantly impacts older people and people with, you know, compromised immune systems. And, you know, who works the polls in Pennsylvania and many, many other states? It's predominantly older people, tend to be people who are retired. So right away, there was this idea of like, oh, shoot, like who is going to be able to staff the polls? And then just, you know, as we expected, you know, polling places started having people calling out. We weren't going to have as many poll workers. So counties all across Pennsylvania, but especially in the Southeast, they drastically reduced the numbers of polling places they were going to have. So right away, you had people saying, okay, well, you shouldn't vote in person. We have these new mail-in ballot laws. Use them. So if you were going to vote in person, and many people still vote in person, you might have to travel farther, or, you know, you might be confused about where your polling place is. And then on top of that, we started right before the election having civil unrest. All of these things together, I mean, people over and over, and I usually think this is kind of an overwrought thing to say, but in this case, I think it's accurate. It really was just a perfect storm of things that were absolutely going to make the election a huge challenge.
Yeah, and all the things that came with the civil unrest following the killing of George Floyd made it harder for folks to go out to vote.
From the voices on the street to the view from the sky, the protests filled Center City streets for another day.
Yeah, that did make it harder. People were worried about the enormous police presence that, you know, for instance, we'll talk about Philadelphia. There was a lot of conflict between protesters, and then the National Guard was called in. And then the city shut down SEPTA in Center City, so public transit was far less than it usually is. And then there was a 6 p.m. curfew that started being instituted on the Saturday that the protests started and went for days afterward. People worried that, for instance, like the police presence might deter people from coming out to vote. People worried that people might not know that they're still allowed to come out during the curfew to vote. So it became a very sort of unknowable situation in terms of figuring out how this was all going to affect people voting and whether it was going to disenfranchise people.
Well, could people vote past 6 o'clock?
So yes, actually, and I don't think everyone knew this. First of all, the city on election day extended the 6 p.m. curfew to 8:30. So polls close at 8. That was going to give people time to get out there, hopefully get home. And we asked this of the district attorney, Larry Krasner.
If you are in line by 8 o'clock p.m., stay there. Finish voting. Complete your mission.
Katie, I would imagine that mail-in voting would be even a more appealing option given all the unrest we've had.
So when the protests started, I think that gave an extra nudge to Governor Wolf to, frankly, to do something about, you know, the numbers of people who, for whatever reason, maybe weren't going to be able to get their mail-in ballots in or had mailed them, and they wouldn't get to county election offices on time. In 6 counties, so Philadelphia, Delaware, Montgomery, Erie, Allegheny, and Dauphin counties, the governor extended the deadline for mail-in ballots that were postmarked by Election Day to be accepted at county election offices.
So amidst all this confusion, Katie, did you hear of any stories of anybody getting disenfranchised by this primary?
There were a lot of compounding problems, and one of those that is hard to correct, honestly, is slow mail. You know, the pandemic slowed down the Postal Service. And so when people were applying for mail-in ballots, even if they made all the deadlines, sometimes they just didn't get their ballots. And so I talked to one person, well, two people actually, who that happened to. It was Georgia DeVitas and her father, Constantinus DeVitas.
Well, like the rest of the world, we were in lockdown. My father and I both have health issues.
They live in Delaware County, and Georgia applied for a mail-in ballot for them both.
On April 15th, I applied for my mail-in ballot, and for his, it was April 23rd.
And they didn't get it.
I was getting reminders from the Department of State, like, it's time to return your ballot. And I was, like, talking to my computer going, I would love to return my ballot if I had gotten my ballot.
She says she contacted her local officials. She kind of, you know, did everything right. And so she went and voted.
Because he can't walk well, plus his health issues, we decided that he wasn't going to go vote.
He's 91 years old. And, you know, there is a pandemic happening.
So do we know how all these circumstances affected turnout?
We are still counting ballots, but what I can say is that a lot of people did vote by mail, way more than Pennsylvania has ever seen before, and that was always going to be the case. You know, I talked to David Thornburg, he's from the Committee of 70, and he did mention to me he didn't think turnout was going to be incredibly high anyway.
You started out with a sense that this was going to be a low turnout election, probably comparable to 2012 when Philadelphia turnout was about 20%.
Just because, you know, the presidential nominee was already decided by the time Pennsylvania's primary rolled around. But ultimately, you know, given mail-in balloting, turnout was not as bad as it could have been. And again, we're still counting ballots. We don't know the final count yet. Many of the biggest counties, including Philadelphia, are the ones that still are not finalized.
When we come back...
In November, we are in a huge general election year, and Pennsylvania is an incredibly important state.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Katie Meyer about how Pennsylvania fared in holding its primary in the midst of the pandemic and protests. Katie, I know we're still counting, but some races are being called based on that. Were there any surprises?
One of the interesting races that I was watching was the 17th State Senate District in Montgomery, mostly in Montgomery, but part of Delaware County as well. It's a progressive district, really safe for Democrats, and for about 10 years, it's been held by Dalen Leach. He has been a very sort of outspoken leader, but in the last 2 years about, he's been under these allegations that he was inappropriately touching women in his offices, making inappropriate jokes that made people uncomfortable. And so that has really colored this campaign. So he was running for the primary against Amanda Cappelletti. She is on the East Norton Board of Supervisors. She used to work for Planned Parenthood. And she's running on a very, very similar progressive platform to Leach, but basically saying, like, you know, his behavior is unacceptable.
The way in which he handled the allegations, the intimidation, the bullying, the name calling, not just of people who have called him out, but of his own colleagues.
So it looks like Cappelletti has won. The Associated Press did call the race for her, though we don't have statements from Dalen Leach yet. We don't have like a final result on that race.
Hmm. And then there was that upset, it looks a seeming upset, of longtime state senator Larry Farnese.
It was. So Farnese, for a long time, has represented this district in South Philadelphia. He is, I would say he's kind of like a classic Philly politician. I've covered him in Harrisburg, sort of a pragmatic guy, definitely, you know, a Democrat, but he was being primaried from the left by this guy, Nikhil Saval. He's a community organizer. He's a writer. He founded this group called Reclaim Philadelphia. And I would say he presents himself, you know, as a democratic socialist, sort of in the mold of Bernie Sanders. And so that race, you know, it was expected to be pretty close. And we don't have official results for it yet, but the Associated Press has called it for Saval. So that's a pretty big upset if they are correct, and they usually are correct. But at this point, as of this recording, we haven't heard from either candidate. So, you know, still votes are still being counted. I think they're both being cautious.
So, Katie, are there any takeaways from this election that we can bring to the general election in November? Anything that we've learned or should be on the lookout for when we go into November?
Yeah, I think there are a couple big takeaways. I mean, for one, we don't quite know what the circumstances are going to be in November. So, you know, if we're lucky, the coronavirus pandemic will have really calmed down and we won't have a big recurrence in cases. Of course, we don't know. We don't know if there's going to be, you know, continuing civil unrest that far in the future. Those are just things, you know, it's difficult to say. But what is concrete is that, you know, we've given Pennsylvanians the option now to vote much more broadly by mail, and they have taken that option, and it's very likely that people are going to continue taking advantage of that option. And so that really changes what county election offices have to do on election day. And so one of the things they have pushed for is to be allowed to start counting mail-in ballots earlier, just so they can get ahead of the curve. And frankly, so it won't take them so long after Election Day to keep tallying votes. The other thing that I just think we need to be really cognizant of is this was a primary election. It was a primary election where there was not, for instance, a presidential race on the table in Pennsylvania. That's not going to be the case in November. In November, we are in a huge general election year, and Pennsylvania is an incredibly important state. And so there are states that have been voting by mail for a long time that are sort of used to waiting for their total counts to be in. You know, Pennsylvania is not one of those states. We're not used to that. This has been a real new experience for us. So my concern, and, you know, I think a concern that a lot of people have going into November is that, you know, say it's election night, the race is coming down to a handful of states. This happens a lot. You know, one of those states could be Pennsylvania. And, you know, you got to remember, this primary election was supposed to be the trial run of new systems. So the new machines, the mail-in ballots, this was going to be the trial run for that November election. And because of all these extenuating circumstances, the pandemic, the civil unrest, things got a little bit wonky. And so say it happens in November, say there's these circumstances are still happening and we don't know what the counts are. Yeah, I think it's tough to envision how crazy that's going to look if that does indeed happen. And, you know, whenever results take a long time, people start to trust the results a little less. And so I think being transparent about how long things are going to take close to the election is going to be something that's really important here. And also just having realistic expectations for how quickly things are going to happen and telegraphing that to people right away.
Well, thanks, Katie, as always, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Annette.
That was WHYY political reporter Katie Meyer. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Dern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.